My fellow Democrats, and dear friends, thank you, friends.
Will the convention please come to order? I'm sorry, the chair has been overruled.
All right. Hold it, boys and girls. We got something good coming. Don't hurry. All right. Mayor Bradley. Mayor Bradley. I want to thank Chairman Bob Strauss, that scheduling genius, for allowing me to compete tonight against Catfish Hunter and Pete Rose and the rest of the baseball all-stars. To take on both the Republicans and the all-stars at the same time is a challenge that only an optimistic Democrat would undertake, and I'm the man. So batten down the hatches, here goes. Tonight I have some good news for you. We will have a Democrat in the White House on January 20th, 1977. And once again, the American people we'll have a friend in the White House, and majority government will have been restored. When the people have to make a choice between the politics of democratic courage and compassion and the politics of Republican retreat and indifference, I submit they will make a right choice. And it will be a glorious Democratic victory. This year, the American people are filled with the great bicentennial spirit. And history tells us that in 1776, the American people proclaimed their independence and threw out the British Tories. And I'm here to tell you tonight that in 1976, the American people will once again declare their independence and vote out the Republican Tories. Now that's the bicentennial spirit that assures a good beginning for the next 100 years. Let's get the party of Jefferson and Jackson back into power. That's our goal. Now the men of 1776 are sending us a message here tonight. Freedom is never a resting place. It is not a reward for having been born an American. It must be won by every generation, earned by every citizen, or it will be lost. Those founding fathers did not guarantee success. They spoke only of opportunity. The Declaration of Independence did not guarantee rights. It merely described them. And when we talk about the right to jobs, of decent income, of health care, and homes and shelter, and quality education, we are listing the rights we already possess. But the issue now, as always, is whether we have the strength and the vision and the wisdom to claim what is ours. Today we are charged with renewing the revolution that they began, not this time against a foreign tyrant, but against new tyrannies here at home, against selfishness, despair, and cynicism, against leaders and institutions contemptuous of the will and the fair expectations of our people, against the doctrine that our limits are greater than our possibilities, and most of all against those who would make us afraid to be just and decent and fair. Those patriots of 1776 believed, and this party has always believed, that a democratic government must be an active force for the betterment of human life. But friends, there are new Tories abroad in the land today, and their words are newly fashionable. They appeal to cynicism. They cater to the people's mistrust of their own institutions. A people sickened by lies and corruption. They preach soothing doctrines. They tell us our afflictions will be healed if we but leave them alone, if we seek private gain rather than public good. These modern Republican Tories repudiate the magnificent legacy of Andrew Jackson and Woodrow Wilson, of Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman, and of John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson. And I say to this great convention, there was no room for Tories in Philadelphia in 1776, and there is no room for them in New York in 1976, and we don't want any of them in Washington in 1977. Now, friends, if they wish to be heard, let them go to Kansas City. There they will find the Republican president and his tired old party, who tell us that we do not need fresh imagination and new ideas. After eight, what seems like incredibly long years of phases and freezes and failures, of startups and slowdowns, of high prices and fewer jobs, they still ask us for just a little more time and patience. They say to America, go slow, not now, no, no, veto. That's their refrain and that's their policy. But we've had enough of that defeatism. And we are saying no to this callous indifference to the needs of our people. And the people will speak this November. A Democrat will be elected, and his name will be Jimmy Carter. Republican Tories have deceived the people, destroyed confidence in our government, and caused widespread suffering. As L. Smith used to say, let's look at the record. These inventors of win buttons have given our country its highest level of inflation in three decades and the highest interest rates in 100 years. These self-proclaimed champions of the work ethic have given us more unemployment than any time since the Great Depression. These advocates of balanced budgets have given us larger federal budget deficits than any time in our history. These true believers in rugged individualism of free enterprise have been ready and willing to bail out giant corporations, yet they would deny school lunches to needy children. These self-appointed experts on law and order have presided over alarming increases in crime. And worse yet, crime has reached its highest to the highest offices in this land. They took it off the street. They put it in the White House. Millions of American families have seen their aspirations of a generation vanish. Their once confident expectations for the future have been replaced by fear. Fear of losing a job. Fear of unmet mortgage payments. Fear of skyrocketing medical bills. Fear of crime and violence. Fear of a destitute old age. For millions, fear has replaced hope. Doubt has replaced confidence. And despair has replaced optimism. But America has faced critical and trying times in other generations. And whenever these conditions have prevailed, people have turned to our party, and America has found the leadership to restore confidence, hope, and strength in the Democratic Party. In 1948, I was in Philadelphia. I had the honor of addressing the Democratic Convention on the fundamental and basic issue of civil rights and human justice. At that convention, the Democratic Party made a choice. It was a choice between political expediency and moral leadership. And we chose moral leadership. And we committed ourselves to the full rights of citizenship to all of our people. That convention and its nominee, our own Harry Truman, launched a political struggle for the fulfillment of these goals. We saw in the denial of freedom for some the ultimate loss of freedom for all. The battles, I can tell you, were long and hard. The political costs were often great, but we didn't shirk, we didn't run, we prevailed. Today, we must move beyond the protection of civil rights to the provision of opportunity so that these rights may be truly enjoyed. The right to a job, the right to full participation in the economic life of this nation is the birthright of every American. And until we assure this freedom and this right to all of our citizens, we cannot call ourselves truly free. Let me recall some history, sad history. In the 1960s, a relatively few Americans out of our 200 million were involved directly in combat in the war in Vietnam. It was a war 10,000 miles away from home. It was a burden that was borne by a few. Nevertheless, my fellow Americans, the pain and the suffering of those few grew into widespread guilt, dissension, and bitterness at home, and the whole spirit of this nation was sapped. Today, just as the war in Vietnam ultimately poisoned the whole body politic of America, so will the continued loss of income and the failure to provide work and jobs for a minority of our people ultimately sap our strength and the spirit of our nation. We must bring, therefore, every willing and able-bodied American into the mainstream of American economic life. Work, not welfare. Paychecks, not the dole. That's what the American people want, and that's to what this party is pledged. Now let's see if we get ready for the battle. Prepare ourselves for the struggle. We will confront the bankrupt policies of the Republican administration with a new vision for America from a new Democratic administration. And we'll make it clear where we stand. We believe in jobs, and we will commit government policies to assure every person willing and able to work with the opportunity to work. We believe in our young people, and we will champion the cause of education. We respect our senior citizens, and we will assure them generous and decent care. We believe in the right of every American to a full and healthy life, and we will establish a national health care system that provides quality health care for all. We believe that our cities are important and that they must be saved. And we will present a program that replaces slums with decent homes and neighborhoods. And we will present for America a Marshall Plan for rebuilding urban America. We believe in ending the uncertainties facing both farmers and consumers, and we will develop a national food and agricultural policy that provides abundance with fair returns for farmers and stable prices for consumers. We believe in free enterprise, and we will promote economic policies and stimulate business and commerce. And we believe in the quality of life, and we are committed to protecting our environment and conserving our natural resources. And we believe, as a party and a people, in ending every vestige of prejudice and discrimination. And we shall see that equal opportunity reaches into every aspect of American life. Now these are our goals, big and mighty goals. These are our promises to the people. But 200 years of American history should convince us that Americans can do what we know we must do. And we know what we must do. We know what is right, and we know what is just, and we must make up our mind to do what is right. The ultimate moral test of any government is the manner in which it treats three groups of its citizens. First, those who are in the dawn of life, our children. Second, those who are in the shadows of life, our elderly, our sick, our needy, our handicapped. And those, third, in the twilight of life, our elderly. And my fellow Americans, on all three counts, the Republicans have failed the basic American test of political morality. There you have part of the record. And I tell this audience tonight, we will win in November, not because we have some magic cure for all our ills, not because of political gimmicks or opportunism. We will win because the people know that we care. We are in the tradition of America, a tradition of pioneering, of adventure, of optimism, of confidence and faith, a tradition of caring and sharing. That is the character of America, and that is the story of the Democratic Party. This party of ours has always believed that no challenge is too great for the American nation. Therefore, we must muster our strength, our courage, our imagination, and our great energy. We can become whatever we want to be. America is a young country with its future before it. The American people are builders. They are restless. They are energetic. And they are idealists who want to put their ideals to the test. So tonight, America looks to new leaders who can make our country both dynamic and just, who have a sense of compassion, but also a dedication to individual initiative. Leaders who can inspire and are inspired by our history, but who sense that our greatness is in the future. I tell you tonight, America's best days, America's great days have only just begun. More than a century ago, a wise French visitor to our country wrote these memorable words. America, he said, is great because she is good. And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. The American people know this is true, and you know this is true, and I know this is true. And the American people are therefore looking to a new generation of democratic leadership. And I say to this great convention, this leadership will come from this party, and it will come from this convention, and we will give America a new president in November that believes in the promise of America for all of its people. Thank you.